being mindful of how Thanksgiving and gratitude works in your business.
I just don't think that people were raised to be considerate.
That is so much better than even a handwritten note.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Living your best life, yeah, yeah.
Figure out what your best life actually looks like.
I now go broke on a salary I used to dream of making.
I don't have an alcoholic hip-hop ego.
Hey, homies.
What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo, woo.
Welcome back. We are Red Bull excited to talk to you about what? Living your best life. Yeah, yeah.
No. I stopped that. Did I tell you I ran into one of the homies at a conference? And he was like, tell Bimitra to stop that singing.
I know. I can't sing. He doesn't like my singing.
He said, I mean, it's cute, but it's not harmony.
What's funny is I remember at our 40th birthday party, and I was, you know, singing, you know, calling all deltas to the floor, and I was in the mic and I was excited, and Stella was like, Sora, put the mic down.
Put the mic
you
all
sound
the way down.
Horrible. But the Lord said make a joyful noise.
And that's what you got? You got a joyful noise?
And I feel like if it's in your heart, then people will give you some grace for how it actually sounds. So, but anyway, this episode is about living your best life. And when we first thought about this, you know, Demetra says she could only think about the little Duval song.
I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you now. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back and forth with you now. You're not going back and forth?
You're not going back and forth. And then I was thinking about, like, the Cardi B Chance the Rapper.
I'm about to say, because that's what I think.
I'm living my best life. It's my birthday. At least that's what I'm dressed like.
It's my birthday. At least that's what I'm dressed like.
At least that's what I'm dressed like, right? Right, so.
It's a lot of living your best life songs.
Right. Right, which I think we could probably go back into many, many hip-hop songs, because I feel like hip-hop culture is, I mean, that's kind of what everybody's alcoholic hip-hop ego is about, right? Which is, I'm doing me.
Let me just stop for the homies. I don't have an alcoholic hip-hop ego. Go ahead, though.
No, I'm just... My point is, like, I'm doing me, you know, I'm the greatest, you know, whatever that may be. But this is about literally being your greatest, living your best life. And I do think that there's something to be said for doing that. And we've done episodes about running your own lane and running your own race, staying in your own lane. But this is a little bit different.
Okay.
So,
in what way?
You know, I just finished Shelley's Becoming. That's Michelle Obama. One of the things that she talks about in the book, and not to ruin it for the homies, because I'm sure that so many of the homies are reading the book. If you are not, it is worth the read. It is worth the audible.
You should be. If you're not, homie, stop right now.
Download it.
Go. If you can't find it, you will find a link in the Corporate Homie Bookstore on our books tab. We'll have a link to the book.
It's an amazing book. But one of the things is when she meets Barack, it strikes her that she is not living her best life, that she's living her appropriate life. She's living her expected life.
Mm.
And that Barack Obama has this definition of success that might be different than what the world's definition of success is. And so, which was a life that was about passion and a sense of self and making an impact on the world. It didn't have anything to do with money. And I wouldn't say achievements, because he was still Ivy League educated and put himself in a situation to do his best. But so when I think about living your best life, that's what struck me as I was preparing for the episode, is not what the world thinks your best life is, but what you actually think your best life is.
Yes, I love that. And sometimes, you know, one of the things that Michelle does remind us in the book is that we haven't even stopped to think about what our best life is. So you don't know if you're actually living it, because you sometimes are so busy
checking off boxes
in the rat race, checking boxes off things that people have been telling you since you were a kid are what successful people do. Successful people go to college, successful people buy a house, successful people work in corporate America.
They have children.
Whatever it is, they have children, they get married, you know, they drive a, you know, an appropriate sedan, whatever it is.
Like whatever.
Right, whatever it is. And sometimes you aren't any of those things. You don't want to go to college. You don't want to work in corporate America, or you went to college and you got a medical degree and now you don't want to be a doctor. And it's okay because it may take you pivoting from where you are to actually live your best life. So I think that's part of the first thing is figure out what your best life actually looks like.
For you. And only you.
For you.
Because at the end of the day, as they like to say on reality TV, at the end of the day, you're going to be the person who has to live this life. And so my first tip is there is no singular definition for what best life is. And best life is different things to different people, because we know so many people that, you know, best life is marriage. Best life is parenting. Best life is money. Best life is traveling. Best life is status. Best life is status at church. And what I would submit to you is that it doesn't matter what someone else's definition of best life is. It matters what your definition of best life is. And if you don't know what that is, then think about, homies, where it is you like to spend your time. And is that a career that you work? So if you spend your free time drawing, or you spend your free time rearranging your house and decorating, or fashion, why are you a school teacher? Why are you working in finance? If you love to cook and you have a herb garden, why are you doing that?
And we've seen some of the homies do that. They were, I'm thinking of one particular homie who was an HR professional, who now is a full-time interior decorator. So we've seen people do that. I know another homie who was a paralegal, and she's now a full-time makeup artist. So our first two tips go together. Mine was figure out what your best life is, and yours is that it's not a singular thing. My next tip about the best life is you might have more than one best life.
Hello, somebody.
So what I really loved about, and now it's turning into a Michelle Obama book podcast. What I loved about the book.
If you listen to Michelle, we love you.
Right. Holler at your girls, Michelle. I mean, I feel like she's our BFF. And so what I loved is that she's been every woman. It reminds me a lot of my mother, of your mother, our mother. That you can be different versions of yourself at different times in your life. So there can be a time that you are a stay-at-home mom, and mom was like that. And then there was a time in her life where and she'll talk about that, just we were babies, you know, DeMarc was little, and how delighted she was to get up in the morning, wash cloth diapers, and then hang them out on the line, and they lived in California, that good California sun, and just happy.
She jokes that she can't tell you anything that happened between 1975 and 1978, because she was busy being a mom,
right? And happy being a mom, but engrossed in it. And then there's times when, you know, mom was a student. And then there were times when she was a social worker. And then there's been times when she was, you know, a guidance counselor. And so, and same thing with Michelle Obama. She went from being a corporate lawyer to a hospital executive to running a nonprofit. Like, you can be different things. So what your best life, you're not having to commit to your best life until you die.
That's so funny, because I have in my notes is my next point, which is it's not a singular place, which is exactly what you're talking about, that there you can be different things at different times in your life. And I think that we've even done that, even outside of mom, right? Like that we've done that. I mean, we're still a work in progress, because we're in our early 40s and we still haven't fully defined what that looks like. And that's okay. That's allowed. As my dad used to joke, I now go broke on a salary I used to dream of making.
Right.
Right. It's okay to change your definition of what your best life is. Sometimes what you think you want is your best life is not actually what you want. We know people who said, I'm never going to be the type of woman who stays at home with my kids. And then they realize, I
can't leave my baby.
And then there are other people that's like, I'm going to totally be a stay-at-home mom. They're like, these jokers are running me crazy, and I need adult interaction. And none of that is wrong. The other thing that I would say is for my next tip about living your best life is mute the haters.
I had that. Don't listen to others.
And this is, this This is so important because, so like right now I'm in this spirit of happiness, like this spirit of just like goodness professionally, personally. And it took me so many years to get here because for so long I was in this spirit of dutifulness, as you talked about, doing the right thing, getting to the next step. And I'm not there right now. I'm in this like, hey, this is what makes me happy, and not in this gluttonous, carnal, flesh way, but in an authentic, what's it for me? And I just think that there is value in doing that. And there is value in saying like, this is what everyone else thinks success is, but this is what I think success is. This is what everybody else thinks is best life. I don't actually see value in having a $500,000 house and a 7 Series BMW because that means I have to work this job that I don't really like to make this money to maintain this lifestyle. And what's really more important to me is to be able to take 3 vacations a year for 2 weeks at a time and travel. And so so I don't want a $500,000 house. I want a $185,000. I want $200,000, whatever that may be. And so I would say mute the haters. I've made a lot of decisions over the years in my life at times where everyone thought the decision I was making was crazy. And it's been great for me. And I just blocked the haters out. And I'm not talking about criticism. I'm actually talking about hate, because all criticism is not hate. But learn to mute the haters.
So the person I think that has this down better than anyone I know is DeMarc Benton Liggins.
That's our brother. I would agree with that. Hey. To the extent that he drives me crazy because of.
Right. Yeah. I'm about to say, because you try to be his, he's got to mute you. So.
Yes. Oh, I'm like, we could be doing this. He's like, I'm good though.
DeMarc has that down. He's like, hey, and he's always been like that. I mean, he was like that when we were kids. He was never, ever defined. He has never defined his actions or desires or his goals for himself based on what everyone else was doing. It's something I've always just really, really admired about him. He knows how to rock his own thing, his own way, even when it looks really different than what people say it should look like. So my next tip, you had mute the haters.
Mute the haters.
And yeah. I think sometimes even when you're having success, you have to mute people. So I had don't always listen to other people, because sometimes really good things are happening for you. They're happening for you professionally. And you are trying to figure out. And then someone says something to you, like maybe you get an award, and then someone says to you, well, did you get that award because you're a woman? Or did you get that award because you're a minority man? And then you...
Well, of course you got that because you're black. And they weren't going to give it to me because I'm white.
Right. And then you, instead of, you know, being Wonder Woman and taking...
Embracing.
And taking the shield and buffing it off of you...
Using your bracelets.
Using your bracelets, yeah. You start thinking, well, wait a minute. Did I get the award for that? Did I not? And I... you know, think you have to be really careful about that. I'm a big believer in that the Lord puts you in rooms in which you belong.
Amen.
He puts you on stages in which you belong. And so you are here and you are in this moment because you need it. I mean, because you're supposed to be there. And so, and it really happens even with social media, or someone will say it sort of a backhand thing, you know, oh, I saw you put that up. I don't really like to put up my accomplishments. I don't like, you know, I try to move in silence. LG's moving silence
like lasagna. Like lasagna.
Yeah, like I don't want to do that. And then try to make you minimize your greatness.
Right.
Minimize the good things that are happening for you. And you don't always have to do that.
So sometimes this twin thing is scary, because my next point was be unapologetically you.
Right.
And that you are good enough. You are sufficient enough, even when other people don't see it. And we have certainly had times in our career, just to continue on what you're saying, where people were like, oh, I don't know what's so special about Demetra, or she must have gotten that because she's black. And what I'm telling you is that you're getting everything that you work for. You're getting everything that you strive for. You're getting everything that God divine and designed for you for, and do not apologize for that, because that is a part of living your best life. And sometimes that means that other people didn't get it.
Right.
You have gotten awards that people have been striving to get their entire careers. You weren't even trying to get that you got.
Right. And homies need to embrace that. And sometimes, like I said, you're there because you are supposed to be there. And what you can't worry about is why they aren't there. That's not for you to think about. I don't ever think about what is happening to other people in that way. I'm just very grateful and thankful for the way that my career is unfolding and the way that it's unfolding on the timing that it's unfolding. The truth is, if I could take the way that I trust sort of the Lord and the universe and everything that it means good for me, the way I feel about my career, and put it into every other place in my life, I would always be peaceful, because I've always just sort of believed from a professional standpoint, because I would have never imagined my career would have taken the path that it has taken, that I always believe that it has been, you know, sort of designed for me, and opportunities have come to me for good reasons.
And my last tip on living your best life is fear hates focus. And I've said this before, and I will continue to say it. Don't let fear of failure keep you from trying. Fear hates focus. When you focus on what you're trying to do, it doesn't have to make sense to other people. It doesn't have to be something that other folks think is a good idea, or they understand the linear steps that you're going to take to get there. Just focus on what you're trying to do, why it's been dropped in your spirit, why you know and believe that it's something that you should do, and continue on that path, and do not let fear keep you from doing that. Because I have seen fear keep people from moving. I've seen fear keep people from slotting for new promotions. I've seen fear keep people from speaking up in a meeting. And fear hates focus. Just focus on what it is you're trying to do. Stay focused. Take that shot. Shoot your shot.
Right. Do it, baby. Stick it, baby. Just get it done.
Do it, baby. Stick it.
Like I said, I love that. Like, be unapologetic. And if that means, you know, that living your best life, it might mean sometimes that you need to change your social circle, is what I was going to say. You really don't want to have people around who don't wish you well. And so if you're getting the sense that everyone in your inner circle is not cheering for you, they don't actually, you know, want you to do well. And don't get me wrong, Mama always used to say, and I certainly believe she is right, that people like to see you do well, but not better than them.
Not better than them, right.
And so there's a part of that. But just if, you know, you don't have friends who celebrate your successes, you know, who are excited about your promotion, excited about your new team lead, excited about you winning, you know, the new business, then you're probably just need a new crew. You just need a new crew. Or, you know, you should also check if you're not happy for people like that. Why not? Like, why aren't you happy when your crew is living their best life? Or, you know, are you the person that somebody loses weight and you're like, well, I mean, she's still big though? Or are you the person like, girl, she has lost 40 pounds. Like, that's amazing. Because, you know, a lot of is you reap what you sow, or, you know, you attract what you're putting out. You're going to draw what you put out. So
I call it the asterisk people. They don't actually realize they have a hater spirit, but every time something good happens for people, they have an asterisk. She lost weight, but you know she had the surgery, as if they still didn't lose 95 pounds. She got promoted. Well, you know, so-and-so. It's the asterisk.
Right.
It's the asterisk people. But,
right.
You know, we joked and we've said on this podcast before that, you know, in Memphis, DJs had theme songs and churches had welcome songs. And, you know, one of our family churches, Morning Star,
is the church that meets your needs. It's the church that meets your needs.
They had this song called Saved and Sanctified. And the lyrics in the song says, once you get saved and sanctified, that the places you used to go,
I don't go no more.
Hey world, I'm through with the things I used to do.
And so well,
sometimes you have to change your crew.
Change the places you go. Just change the people you
hang
out
with. Because I know we have some homies. What's up, CP? What's up, Ajani? What's up, Tanika? I know y'all listening. But, like, real talk. Like, that's real. And it's the same thing in your professional life. So when you're like, okay, I hate being a vice principal, and so I'm going to go be a fashion blogger, and people are like, what you going to eat? What about your benefits? You need to get... Sometimes people have a hater spirit, and you don't need hater spirits around you when you're trying to work in your divine best life.
Right. So, you know, the end of the year, we keep saying this on every episode towards the end, it's just a good time to reevaluate. Check out your circumstances. Check out your people. You know, figure out how you're going into 2019, who you're going to spend more time with, who you're going to spend less time with. You know, maybe we should do an episode on that. What's your plan for 2019? How is it going to be different than 2018?
And I think that in that episode, we will also share with the homies what our ups and highs and lows of 2018 were and how we would like to see that be different than 2019, because on the whole, it's been a great year.
Yeah. So as usual, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for rolling with your girls. We really appreciate it. If you have a topic that you would like covered, please feel free to email us at questions@corporatehomie. Homie is HOMIE.com. We always look forward to hearing from the homies and being able to do episodes on topics that you have an interest in.
And as always, you can interact and communicate with us on all things social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you. For those homies who have participated, you know that a lot of the show topics come directly from your feedback, so please keep that coming. And until next time, hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.